Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It does mean 4 hours of professional wrestling on TV Live, but it also means Thunder and Lightning Live. They're on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino joins us as well down there in Studio X. He will pilot the ship to a safe and sudden's not the right word, but you know, we're going to get there, and Rhino is going to be the reason that we do. So, as always, if you want to join the show, you can do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Your team has you covered on the field. C Spire has you covered everywhere else with the best technology for home, work, and on, backed by local 24/7 customer support. Learn more at cspire.com. C Spire, inspired by you. Well, I don't like to say I told you so, but I'm going to. If you listen to this show, if you listen to Thunder and Lightning, the podcast, if you listen to Sports Talk Mississippi, I made it as clear as I could make it that the next baseball coach at Mississippi State was going to be Brian O'Connor. That early in the process, it was evident that that was Zach Selman's number one target, that he was going to put together a package of compensation and of commitment that would be nearly impossible to turn down, and that the only way Brian O'Connor would remain at Virginia would simply be by personal preference to not leave a job he had coached at for 20-plus years, and that Mississippi State was going to make it as difficult on him to say no as they possibly could. And that is exactly what happened, and now Brian O'Connor will be introduced tomorrow as the baseball coach here at Mississippi State. And I give a lot of kudos and credit to Zach Selman on this, because for a number of reasons. One, how often in this crazy world of college athletics does the guy that you say, that you sort of spotlight early on as the top guy, make it all the way to the end? Very rare. You know, normally when I do a hot board, guys come off and they don't come back on, and you know, a lot of times your first hot board and your fourth or fifth hot board look completely different. Brian O'Connor was on everything I ever put out. I firmly believed, based on everything that I was hearing and everything I was being told, that he was going to be, if he was not the guy, it was because he said no. Mississippi State had made it clear he was the guy for them. And what a guy. I haven't met him yet. We'll see how that goes tomorrow. But this is one of the top coaches in college baseball. And this is a guy who, year in, year out, wins games at a high level. 7 trips to the College World Series at Virginia. Would you like to know how many trips to the College World Series Virginia has in total? 7. He has them all. He built that program from nothing and became a year-in, year-out contender for Omaha and won a national championship and played for 2 others. This is the kind of coach Mississippi State has hired. I don't really have a great analogy for it, but it would be like if we talked to a guy, he said Brian Kelly. If Brian Kelly taking the LSU job was similar, because you got 2 programs that are kind of on equal footing, right? Notre Dame is an elite football program. LSU is an elite football program. The difference is Brian Kelly's never won a national title, and Brian O'Connor has. So you don't have a lot to base this on. Just in terms of what the resume is for Brian O'Connor, this is the best hire, not only in Mississippi State history, but in the state of Mississippi's history of hiring coaches. No coach ever took a job here in Mississippi at for football, men's basketball, or baseball, that had a better resume than Brian O'Connor does. So that puts the pressure on. Not that there wasn't already pressure. This is Mississippi State baseball. You just fired a guy who won a national title. So obviously there's pressure. Obviously there's, you know, the desire to not only win, but to win big. But when you bring that resume to the table, people are going to expect things from you. I am one of those people. I was asked today about my expectations for baseball. Guys, my expectations for Mississippi State baseball are going to remain the same no matter who the coach is. I expect you to year in, year out, be in the hosting discussion. That means you're going to be one of the top 16 teams in the country. I don't think that's too much to ask for a team, for a program that puts the amount of money and commitment and support that Mississippi State does into baseball. I don't think I'm asking a lot. I really don't think my expectations are too high. I'm not saying go to the College World Series every year. I'm not saying win the national championship every year. I am simply saying be in the top 20. Can you do that? Can you be in the top 20? If you can do that, you can coach at Mississippi State. Now, you got to have some highs in there, too. You can't just be a consistent top 20 team. This is an MSU football, you're a consistent top 20 team, they'll build a statue. MSU baseball, we got to have some Omaha trips in there. I got to have maybe another national championship in there. That would be nice. But I believe Brian O'Connor is the man to do that. His resume, there's nothing about it that tells me otherwise. I think State's going to be a big-time player in the portal. They're going to bring in a lot of talent, and next year's team is going to be right there in that discussion to possibly host another super regional, and super regional at Mississippi State. So we shall see. But this was the hire that State needed to make. If we go back a ways, back into the season before Lemonis was let go, we did a clip here. I was on Sports Talk Mississippi where I talked about State likes to say it's an elite program, but you have fans who say Mississippi State is an elite program, but then the same fans would take up for the results that Chris Lemonis had the last four seasons. And I said that that's not possible. Those two things are mutually exclusive. Elite programs don't allow a coach to go 4 years without elite results. And so that if you want to be an elite program, you got to act like one and you got to embrace those expectations. Zach Selman has done that. He has made this statement. This is an elite program. We're going to act like one. We hired an elite coach. We're going to put money into the program and we're going to win. Okay, start winning. It's time to go. Now, we had a question on the Ceasefire text line back about an hour or so ago. So people keep mentioning that Jackie Sherrill had a national championship at Pitt. He won as an assistant. He did not win a national championship at Pitt. I've had like four people bring that up. No, Johnny Majors was the head coach in 1976 when Pitt won the national championship. Kind of like Urban Meyer leaving Florida and going to Ohio State. Something like that. But the difference is that Meyer wasn't coaching when he took the Ohio State job. So if he had gone straight from Florida to Ohio State, yeah, something like that. Does it equal Saban's hired Alabama? Again, the same thing. He wasn't in college. He was in the NFL. So there's some differences, but there is some similarities. I don't think that Brian O'Connor is going to win seven national titles, though. I will say that. I will go on the record right now and say that. College World Series, 3 years, every 3 years on average, I'll take that. Yeah, you would absolutely take that. I 100% think that. So, somebody asked about NIL, and is this kind of State robbing Peter to pay Paul? Is this State saying, we're going to push into baseball, but we're going to have to take away from football? It's not that at all, guys. It's not that at all. And I know Zach Selman well enough to know that if he felt Mississippi State could not put big money into baseball, and yet at the same time continue to put more than enough into football to be successful, he would not do this. He knows that football is the golden goose. You have to feed football. And if it had to have been at the expense of baseball, then it would have just had to have been that way. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can have both. State can go out, be competitive in football, be competitive in basketball, and be competitive in baseball at the levels that those programs should be competitive at. Mississippi State football is not a program as it stands right now that should be competing for national titles. Competing for postseason play would be a great start for this team. Men's basketball, they would like to be competing for the NCAA tournament and be making it deeper into the tournament than they've made the past 3 years. That's a fair, national championship is not there yet. That's not a fair expectation. Baseball, it's a fair expectation to say Mississippi State can be a national championship team because they've done it. It's doable. They've been to the College World Series enough times to let you know that they can do it. But this is not a situation where State's taking money out of NIL for football and giving it to baseball. That's not happening. Y'all made a good hire, but quit acting like you hired Phil Jackson. Mississippi State hired one of the, maybe the second best coach in college baseball right now. Maybe the second best coach. I think Vitello's number one. You can make a really strong case that O'Connor's number two. So, yeah, they kind of did. They hired an elite coach. Sorry that that bothers you, but it is what it is. That's what they did. When do you think the Virginia player... Let's talk about... Yeah, people are asking about the portal. Let's talk about that when we come back. Who's going to be coming to Mississippi State out of the transfer portal? Obviously, State needs... You know, this is the transfer portal era. You got to flip your roster almost every year. You've got to bring in new guys. State needs has holes. They need to find a catcher. They need to find some frontline pitching. They need some guys out there in the outfield. They need a second baseman, a shortstop. They got a lot of stuff. So who are those guys going to be? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Back on Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I mentioned it earlier, but if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. 5 days a week of Mississippi State sports with me and Robbie Falk. If you're an Ole Miss fan and you're listening, and judging by the ceasefire text line, you are. The Rebel Report with Michael Borky is there. If you're a Southern Mississippi fan, hey, there's the Eagle Hour. We've got you covered. And, of course, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. The entire show commercial-free each and every day. Wherever you guys get podcasts or, of course, at the website, supertalk.com. .fm. We had somebody come in. Love the hire, but O'Connor is not the second best coach in college baseball. Okay. Who is? Who's the second best coach? I'll wait for your answer. You know, I mean, I'm not saying he's locked in at two, but I can make a really strong case that he is. Really strong. You can make a strong case for maybe Jay Johnson. He could be on the list. I mean, if he finishes the job here and wins another national title, he'd have two. Make a really strong case for him. Van Horn doesn't have a national title. Schlossnagel doesn't have a national title. O'Sullivan? No. So who is it? Bianco? No. Yeah, you just meant, so you... Jay Johnson, I can make a case for. O'Sullivan is not a better coach than Brian O'Connor. I won't have that one. Van Horn and Schloss don't have national titles. So their resumes aren't as good. I mean, Van Horn has 9 College World Series appearances. O'Connor has 7, but he has a national title. Schlossnagel, I don't know how many College World Series appearances he has off the top of my head. He doesn't have a national title. So there you go. Sports Hall Podcast isn't always completely commercial-free, but that's Borky's fault. Yes, we will blame Michael Borky for that. All right, let's talk about the portal. If you've been keeping up, if you follow guys like Pete Nakos or you follow Kendall Rogers on Twitter, you see what's happening to this Virginia roster. Guys, it's been decimated. And that is, to me, is I kind of feel bad for Virginia in some respect. But at the same time, it shows you that those guys were going to Virginia to play for Brian O'Connor and play for his staff. And so the fact that most of his staff is already in Starkville and coaching here, and you're just kind of waiting out the pitching coach decision, which we'll talk about in just a moment, it leads me to believe that State's going to get, yeah, Corbin could be on the list. Corbin should be, yeah, I can live with Corbin at number two. Okay, I can live with Corbin. Although I will say this, Corbin had a scholarship advantage for years that he doesn't have anymore. So I want to see what the next 5 years of Tim Corbin looks like. But right now, you can put Corbin number two on the list. I don't have a problem with that. Getting back to the portal, Mississippi State is going to get some of these Virginia players. It's just the ones. Do you get the ones that you truly want? Do you get Henry Ford? Do you get Eric Becker? Do you get Adrian Teal? Do you get Evan Blanco? If you're getting those guys, you're starting to put together a team that's going to put you right back into the mix for the College World Series next year. State staff obviously is not complete. We're still awaiting a pitching coach decision. Everything I've been told is that it's going to end up being Corey Mascara coming over from Wake Forest. However, Mascara is going to see what head coaching options are available to him. Virginia is a job he could end up getting. He could end up being the head coach at Virginia, in which case Mississippi State would go to Plan B, which is Justin Parker. Justin Parker would be the guy at that point. So I don't think Virginia is going to make a hire. I don't know when they're going to make a hire. They need to because the portal's open. They need to get that roster to quit going into the portal. They need to be able to bring players in. That's the thing about the portal. It forces teams to act fast. And this is kind of why Mississippi State was wise to let Lemonis go when they did, so that they could go ahead. They had their coach in place and announced before the portal opened. So they didn't have all that uncertainty day one that Virginia has. They knew who the guy was going to be. So that was, again, another. I can't give enough credit to Zach Selman and the way he handled this search. His target was his number one target on the board and got him. And did it in a very expeditious fashion. And, you know, I heard Justin Parker's comments after the game. And he's correct in that it would have been better if this could have not played out in the public eye the way that it did. But there's no way to prevent that, because the national media guys and the Virginia media guys weren't beholden to Mississippi State in any way. Not that I'm beholden to Mississippi State, but at the same time, if I reported this and I knew he was going to be the head coach on Thursday, but if I, and I'm not trying to do the whole I knew before, I don't want to do that game. But if you guys listen to my shows, you know that I was saying this, that yeah, it's basically done. I said that over and over again. But if I had just come out and just tweeted, hey, breaking, this is happening, which I probably could have done, and I would have obviously been right, but it would not have been the best day for me at Mississippi State. I would have had to answer for that, even though I'm right. That's just how the media game works, guys, and it works like that everywhere. The Virginia guys have no such issues. They're not going to try to come back to a source at Mississippi State to try to find something out like I would. And I don't want to have to get that, you know, have that send that text, hey, is this happening? Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I tell you, because you'll just go, yeah, it's not worth it. Again, I feel like I was as open and honest with you guys as I possibly could have been. I told you every step of the way it was going to be Brian O'Connor last week, and it was. So we won't play the whole, I knew it kind of thing. Do you think Parker has a chance of staying as pitching coach? I do. He definitely has a chance. If Mascara turns this job down, it will be Justin Parker. You just keep him in place and you move forward. But State would rather go with Mascara. I'll say that. State would rather Mascara be the head coach, be the pitching coach. So we'll see if that happens or not. Another thing here on the C Spire text line, who is coming back from the state roster, or any of our guys hitting the portal? Obviously, some of them are. Nolan Stevens hit the portal today. Michael O'Brien. Luke Dotson just like an hour ago hit the portal. The name everybody's watching is Ace Reese. Ace Reese has a chance to be the top returning player in the SEC next season. A potential top 10 pick. Had a monster year for Mississippi State. Didn't have a great Tallahassee regional, but the season itself was fantastic. Everything I've been told, and this is the transfer portal, guys, so you never know, is that he's happy at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's NIL offer is fantastic, and that he's leaning towards staying at Mississippi State. That would be great news for Brian O'Connor. He sent out a really vague Instagram post today. I'm just like, dude, why? It's like he was trying to work people up. But that being said, if he leaves, I think it's just a situation where he just didn't want to be Mississippi State anymore. Because from a money perspective, you can't tell Brian O'Connor, hey, come to us, we're going to provide all this NIL money, and then lose your top guy because you weren't willing to match an offer or better an offer. That's not the case. It's just he's from Texas. Maybe he wants to go to Texas or Texas A&M at that point, maybe. But the odds right now are in favor of Ace Reese staying. There was also a situation where Noah Sullivan and Garrett Fry could both be back. Apparently, they both have an extra year of eligibility that they could use. So if I can get, and we talked about this on the show, on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast, if I can get Reese, Sullivan, and Fry, and I can supplement those with two or three guys from Virginia and two or three guys maybe from Wake Forest coming in, and then hit a couple other, you know, home runs in the portal, guys, that's an easy top 10 team next year. Easy top 10 team. And then you get me, you know, a couple of the guys that Mascara might bring with him from Wake Forest as pitchers. You get Evan Blanco from Virginia. You bring back Ryan McPherson and Ben Davis and those guys. That's a real team there. That's a team that can compete in year one. The problem is our patience, as always. We have to find a way to be patient. I would expect some transfer portal movement in the next couple of days. But I think by the time we get to Friday, Saturday, some guys will have made their commitment to Mississippi State. I think the first thing the state needs to find in the portal, it may not be the first commitment, but they need to find a catcher. They got to find somebody that can be solid for them defensively behind the plate and give them a little bit more than what Joe Powell was giving them. I mean, Joe Powell ended up having a fantastic season for Mississippi State. It was really good. But defensively, he wasn't great. State had issues behind the plate all year when it came to defense. They got to shore that up. You can't continue going like that. And then you need to find some arms. You need to find a couple of bats in that lineup. First base. Is Sullivan going to play there? Could Fry play there? Or do you need to go out and get a portal first baseman? Because the guy you've had there for the last 4 years is gone now, Hunter Hines. You need a couple of outfielders. Just like anything else, you got needs. State will go out and fill them over the next few weeks. And I really do think this roster, when it's all said and done, is going to be one that can compete for a spot as a top 16 team and maybe even a top 8 team next year. If things go the way that Mississippi State thinks they're going to go in a lot of these cases. We shall see. Let's talk some football when we come back. Mississippi State with some some of these, we're seeing some win totals come out, some lines, things like that. What do I think of them? What do you think of them? Hit me up on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We'll do that when we come back. It's Sports Talk. I'm sorry, it's not. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
And Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
All right, we are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is in Studio X. He's the one playing all the cool tunes, and he's also the one making sure this the studio we're in doesn't just suddenly implode upon itself. Which I don't know if it could or not, but you never know. You don't want to take those precautions. That's why you got to have expert help, expert people around you, like I have with Rhino. So I don't know if I thank him enough sometimes. Football. First off, if you haven't already, if you go look on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, my interview with Blake Chapin is there. I put that up last Friday, but it's still worth going back and listening to. About a 20-minute interview with State's QB1. I thought it was really good. Michael Borky asked me an interesting question earlier today. He said, you know, what have you seen from Mississippi State that lets you know things are going to be better this year? And I felt like I was very honest with him. I said, I haven't seen anything. And that's something that's sort of literal and figurative. Literally, I mean, think about, I didn't get to view much of practice, right? You know, I didn't go to practices because all I got to watch was stretching. So why am I wasting my time? I didn't do that. And if you watch the spring game, there's no way you could watch what Mississippi State did in its spring game and come away thinking anything super positive about the team. The offense couldn't score. The defense wasn't overly impressive. Why would I have walked away from that saying, okay, yeah, they're much better? But at the same time, and it's the debate I've been having all offseason with people, I just don't know if State has enough difference makers to be truly good this year. I think they can be better. I think they can be improved. I think they can. There's a window there where they could be a bowl team if they could get to 6 wins, but that's going to be a lot of work to get to that point. That would require 3 wins against teams that right now State would not be favored against. State's only going to be favored in 3 games as we go into the season, right? They'll be favored against Southern Mississippi. We talked about that earlier. They're a 14-point favorite in that game. I feel like that's a big line, but I understand why it is what it is. They'll be favored against Alcorn, obviously, an FCS team. They'll likely be favored against Northern Illinois. I don't think the bookmakers and the oddsmen will hold what happened the last year against Toledo against Mississippi State too much. But I won't be totally surprised if State's only like a 5 or 6 point favorite in that game. State's 8 SEC games and their game against Arizona State, they will not be favored in those games. So I got to find 3 upset wins to be a bowl team if you're Mississippi State. That's tough. That's tough to do. Especially for a team that, you know, doesn't have an elite quarterback, doesn't have an elite offensive line, doesn't have an elite defense. I think they have a good quarterback. When Chapin's healthy, and we keep making that joke, right? But when he's healthy, he's good. I don't know about the offensive line. There's a lot of new faces there. You know, you've got some transfers. You've got some JUCO guys. You've got some guys who are coming back from last season. But that's not an experienced group that's played together for a year now and has that cohesiveness you want from an offensive line. The defense, I mean, I would be loath to say they could be any worse. If they're worse, then goodness gracious, what on earth? I think they'll be better defensively. And what I said about that team last year, it was true. In that, if they had just been bad defensively, if they had been the 90th total defense in the country, the 90th scoring defense in the country, they probably could have won 6 games by just being average or just being below average. But that's not what they were. They were the worst defense in the SEC and one of the worst in the country. By a really, really large margin. Mississippi State last season was, in terms of scoring defense, was 117th in the country. That's not going to work. 34 points per game is what they gave up. 34 points per game. The next closest team to them in the SEC was LSU. LSU gave up right at, I believe, 24 points per game. So Mississippi State gave up 10 more points per game, 120 more total points than the next worst, never mind the best team in the conference, the next worst team in the conference, the 15th rated team. You can't win football games like that. So are they going to be better defensively? They have more talent this year. I will say that. They have more talent. And they did bring in 2 veteran guys to kind of be the eye in the sky. But I'm also not going to be a person that tells you, well, they hired these 2 analysts, so these 2 guys to be analysts, so that automatically they're going to be better next year. We're not doing that here. I like the hires of Paul Rhodes and Mike McIntyre. I think having a veteran voice in that room can do Coleman Hutzler a lot of good. I think those guys will add to State's ability to be better defensively. But is that the difference between being the 117th total defense and the 20th scoring defense? No. No. Everything with State to me falls on the defense. And maybe that's unfair because offensively that team struggled at times last year. They were also playing a true freshman quarterback after week 4. Almost every team in the country would struggle with a true freshman quarterback. So I don't put that as much of that blame on Levy. And by the end of the season, they were better offensively. They were okay offensively in some of those games. They weren't good against Ole Miss, but Ole Miss had the best defense in the country last year. Statistically, they're the best defense in the country, or at least in the SEC. You got good defensive analysts. Well, I agree with that, but defensive analysts, I can't sit here and I can't wrap my head around the idea that the fact that they have good analysts is going to make this massive difference. I can't bring myself to do that. All State fans know that our defense was absolutely horrible last year. And that solely a complete and absolute lack of talent from the players, the defensive coordinator. Or also, I'm sorry, you're asking a question. Was that solely a complete or absolute lack of talent from the players, the defensive coordinator, or both? It was both. They didn't have enough talent, and they made up for it by having an inexperienced defensive coordinator who just, at times, his defenses didn't look like they knew what they were doing. As an Ole Miss fan, I'm actually rooting for State to be better. It's good for Mississippi when all our teams are good. Well, that's very sweet of you, Jeff. We appreciate you. We appreciate your support. If you'd like to make a donation to the State Excellence Fund, let me know. I'll get you in touch with the right people. Is Lebby in trouble if he doesn't win 5 games? That's the question I get a lot. It's a tough question. Because if State were to... at 5 games, even at 4 games, he's probably okay. At 4 games, again, going back to, it's not acceptable, but if you go 4-8 and in your 8 losses you were competitive and you had a chance to win some of those games, they just didn't go your way, you can at least say we're making progress here. 2-10, 3-9 again, it's really tough. It's really tough to say, yeah, we should keep him. Because the decision to keep Hutzler was his decision. So if they're bad again defensively, you're just going, well, why didn't you fire the guy? You had enough evidence a year ago. Nobody would have questioned it if you had fired him. And you kept him. You tied yourself to him. I understand why that would be. So, Mississippi State, though, gosh almighty, at some point you have to stop firing coaches, don't you? Since 2017, Mullen, Moorhead, Leach, Arnett, Levy, and now we're talking about the next guy, 6 coaches in 8 seasons. And I understand that one of those guys passed away. But at some point, you got to have some consistency and some continuity. And I don't know. I don't know if they can afford to let him go. I do agree that if you're 5 games in and the defense is still really, really bad, you just let Hutzler go at that point and let Rhodes or McIntyre take over and just go from there. You can't continue to go on like that. I would actually agree with that. I don't know. They don't have a name on the text here, but from the 662, I totally agree with that. Levy will be in the top 3 of SEC Coach of the Year. That's a bold prediction. If he goes to a bowl game, he will be. If he can get to 6-6, he absolutely should be. I'm just telling you, like, Texas could go undefeated. Georgia goes 11-1. If Levy's 6-6, give him votes up there with Sarkisian and Smart. 100% I would agree with that. Because this schedule is brutal. This team is not as talented as it needs to be. So if they go to a bowl game, it's because Levy schemed them there. He would have done an outstanding coaching job, if that's the case. Would Mullen come back then? That's gonna be the fun story to watch over these next couple of years, is if Levy doesn't get this turned around and Mullen goes to UNLV and shows that he has adapted to this new age of college football and is bringing in transfers and recruiting, it's going to be real tough to say, well, why don't we run it back? He could be your Bill Snyder at that point. I don't know. The best case scenario for Mississippi State 100% of the time is Jeff Lebby figuring it out and getting going. So, Brad, I agree with you. I agree with you, Brad. Who are the top 3 SEC games that we have the best chance of winning? Arkansas, for sure. I hate to say at Missouri, but at Missouri. You could. There's a scenario where you're 4-0 when you play Tennessee, though. So, maybe Tennessee. And look, laugh if you want, but the last 2 Egg Bowls, as bad as State's been, those games have been close. Could you beat Ole Miss in Starkville at the end of the year? Maybe. I wouldn't. None of them have great chances, though. Arkansas's probably your best shot. We'll see. We'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go!
Oh, All right, let's wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Thanks for all your interaction on the show tonight. 601-879-4395. That's the C-Spire text line. He goes 0-16. He has to go in the SEC, says Ed in Columbus. I would truly love it if everything fell in place with Lebby and took him to a bowl game. I'm rooting for him, but it's hard last year after last year's record and him sticking with the defensive coordinator. My opinion is not firing the defensive coordinator will be his downfall. I tend to agree that they got to turn it around. They have to be better defensively this year. I believe in Lebby in the offense. I'm not overly concerned there. But defensively, they have to be better. From day one, they go down to Hattiesburg. They have to be better. They have to hold that Southern Miss team to. They need to blow them out. And I don't know if they can or not, but that's what they need to do. They need to leave that stadium with their fans saying, okay, we're all right. It's going to be okay this year. You win that game by 13 or less. Southern Mississippi's running up and down the field on you. You're not getting any pressure on their quarterback. God forbid, if you a loss, there would be it's over. At that point, it would be no coming back for Lebby. There'd be no coming back for him. So, they're a 14-point favorite. We're not going to talk about a loss this time. Arkansas is our best shot for an SEC win, and they hung 60 on us last year. You're not wrong. But at the same time, we can't. When you look at the state schedule, who's the worst team on it in the SEC? It's Arkansas. There's no question about it. But you're absolutely correct. I am telling you that state's best shot is a team that put 60 points on the board, 700 yards of offense, and literally State could not stop them. I think State could have played with 13 guys that day, and Arkansas still would have moved the football. So you're not wrong. That's the situation that they're in right now. This kind of is what it is. Just kind of is what it is. Somebody asked about basketball. The roster now finished. I'm interested to see the Slovenian guy. He's not Serbian. He's Slovenian. Totally different. Different countries. It's like, you know, it's like if you're from Mississippi, you're not from Alabama. Same thing. So, but he's a guy that I'm very interested in. I'm going to laugh every time Brandon Walker scores a point. Brandon Walker. When I saw that, I texted him. I am hopeful because there's a video going around of him like getting excited. And, like, looking at his phone, I'm hoping that's my text to him of him looking at it and seeing that Brandon Walker had committed to Mississippi State. Big kid, good numbers. We'll see how it pans out. Where this team is right now, you know, last year, the portal stuff, I mean, Kugel, Harris, Melendez, they didn't deliver the way you wanted them to. And, of course, Kanye Cleary, you know, that's 2 years in a row where State's just had the unfortunate situation where a guy you bring in that you were kind of relying on and you don't even get anything out of him because he just, you know, just didn't work out. Is there going to be a guy like that this year? You hope not. So I want to see him play a little bit, but having Hubbard is always a good thing. I was never concerned about him leaving Mississippi State. I was never worried about it at any time. I knew he would always be back. I like the pieces they've put around him. I like Jaden Epps a lot. I think he and Hubbard can be a really good duo in that backcourt. And then Quincy Ballard is a true rim protector that State did not have a season ago. I don't think State replaced what Keyshawn Murphy would have given them. If Murphy had stayed, he would have been a double-double guy. I don't know if they've got that right now. But did they, you know, to quote Moneyball, replace him in the aggregate? We'll find out. But are they still going to be a tournament team? Absolutely. Will they go further in the tournament than they have? Well, if you could tell me right now who they're playing and how they match up with them, I might be willing to say that. I've said it for two straight years. I'll say it again. The NCAA tournament is all about matchups. So they got matched up with a team that shot the three ball well, and that was State's, you know, Achilles heel this year. And they had a top 10 NBA draft choice in their backcourt. I also think the SEC will take a step back. It's not going to be what it was last year. They're still really good teams, but there's a lot. Like, Auburn's not going to be as good as they were. Florida's not going to be as good as they were. They could still win the national championship, but in the regular season, they won't be as good, is what I would tell you. Alabama, and we'll see, you know, shouldn't be as good. You know, I don't think you're going to. Last year's 8-10 that State was in the conference is one of the strongest 8-10s in the history of college basketball. So we'll see what that brings. I believe in Jans, though. So I don't worry. I don't sweat basketball. I just want to see them. I would like to see them do better than they did last year. Be a little bit more consistent. Find a win or two. But, you know, they had games last year they should have won, and they didn't. Win those games this year. Instead of being an 8 seed, be a 6 seed. Be a 5 seed. We'll see if that can happen. All right, guys. Great Wednesday night with you. Really appreciate you spending it with me. Like I said, a lot of great interaction tonight on the Ceasefire text line. I mean, we're in the off season now. We'll be talking football. If you're going to be at Duty Noble Field tomorrow to welcome Coach Brian O'Connor, you see me, come say hello. We'll talk it out. We'll have a good time. Hope to see you there at Duty Noble Field tomorrow night. 7 o'clock, we'll be welcoming Coach Brian O'Connor. For Rhino in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.